We're just about an hour away from the start of the NFL draft. How many people are outside getting ready for it to start in Detroit?
Let me turn on my mic here.
Yeah.
100,000? I have
Jay
no idea.
Jay had a number earlier. I think they had to stop letting people come in.
Yeah, they said they're getting close to 100K out there.
Wow, look at that. A lot of Lions fans, too. I'm going to see a blue out there.
Uh-huh.
You got some Bears fans.
Why are those people all there?
I don't know. Like,
if they're having a good time, great. Now, I'm not.
Right.
Yeah, but, I mean, there was a time when I think Pete Rozelle's like, we're not putting the draft on TV. No one's watching that.
Yeah.
And now it's an hour before it starts, and you got 100,000 people waiting for it to start outside.
Fellas, let me ask you something. Maybe we can do this in the summer when we have a little more time on our hands, and I'll put it on our list. Is the NFL draft, NBA draft, whatever draft, MLB, whatever draft you want, is that one of the most boring events that most people attend? Like, I have no interest, unless it was, you know, family member or friend, you know, if I had to go there for work, okay, that's cool because it's a little different. Mm-hmm. But I have no interest in being a fan attending a draft. How about you guys?
I'm with you.
It's like
you,
up the top of my list.
Yeah, I would rather. And, you know, I'm interested. I want to know what happens. But to your point, watching it, I'd rather watch like three UFL games than watch. You know, at least it's football, something
right.
happening.
It's not like you interact with the players that are going to be drafted. You're not going to see the coaches or – like, what do you get out of that if you're there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
you want to see who your team drafts. I get that. Your team.
Yeah. But and I'll also say I would guarantee it's a worse product in person because there's a lot of downtime, a lot of quiet, a lot of commercials.
You're just
a lot
extra
of time in between the picks.
In a TV show.
Right.
If you're there.
Exactly. You're just a prop there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%. So I have zero interest in. And I've never been to the NBA draft or anything, but there's no reason I would want to do that.
I remember reading about the early days of the NFL draft, and way back when they couldn't, you know, you'd like the team would call up a school and say, "Hey, coach, you got any good players?" And the coach might say, "Yeah, this one guy's he's pretty good." And they okay, well, you know, that would be it.
That was it, right? Now, not all this pomp and circumstance and.
I remember reading a story on the history of the NFL, and the Steelers have this party, and at this party they're going to introduce their first-round pick. And the guy gets there, and they all realize, oh, this guy can't play football. They got to tell the owner.
Pull the plug on him.
Wait till you see this guy we drafted.
Oh, my gosh.
So times have changed.
Times have changed, and, you know, like I'm watching ESPN, and their pregame show for the draft is like 6 hours long or whatever it is. Like, what more can you say? Like – and the thing is,
and people love it.
People
and the
love
ratings
it.
Are high.
But we're spending so much time, and nobody knows how these guys will pan out. We're talking about guys who might be out of the league in 3 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Think about that. Yeah. All this is too much content out there right now. It's too much content.
There is.
It's too much time
I agree
to fill.
With that.
Like, come on.
Well, we don't have time for that right now.
Look at these Yahoos, Raider fans.
Yeah, Raiders.
They're saying, fellas, and I'm looking right now. I've seen. They're saying upwards of 100. There's already 150,000 fans in attendance with over, and this was an hour ago, with over 2 hours left until the draft.
Mm-hmm.
They're expecting, according to NFL PR, they're expecting over 400,000 fans are expected to be in attendance for the NFL draft.
What?
400,000 over the 3 days.
Good for them. And, you know, if they enjoy it,
the NFL.
No one makes money. It's a win-win. I just don't understand it.
And you know they're paying to get into that, right?
Right. It's not.
It's not free.
Yeah, it's not free. There's nothing free with the NFL.
Yeah. You know, I couldn't believe this a few years ago. 2011, 2012 might have been the first year. You know, you go to Radio Row at the Super Bowl, and it's just the media, and there's lots of players walking around and celebrities. Jay was just there with Styles and Watkins, and I was – there, it was in Indianapolis, and they have part of it sectioned off, and I'm looking, you know, because I'm on the inside, and I realize, oh, those are fans. They charge fans to come look at this.
Yes.
What, for
Radio Row?
What?
Yes. Fans pay to go watch radio, because they have the TV shows, and you might see somebody walk by, you know, and fans
you gotta pay
for that.
That's... People need to get a life. I appreciate it, you know, and it helps, you know, pay our bills and everything. But that's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Put that on top of my list, too, of, nah, that's not. Nah, that's
you're not,
boring.
You're not going to. Yeah. What about, you know, what is it? Not Fan Fest, Media Night at the NFL, Super Bowl.
Do they charge fans for that, too? They might.
I don't think you can get to Media Night. That's only media.
That's
personnel.
Just media on a floor. Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah. We'll come right back here. Take a real quick timeout.
Okay.
Come right back with Malik Monk.
Yes.
And we may have the way to keep Midtown next. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
The Drive Guys Sacktown Sports.
Pardon me, a little collective soul on a throwback Thursday. We're worried about Malik Monk leaving, of course. We're watching the Orlando Magic playing right now. They're down 6-3 early to Cleveland. They can't shoot. So they could use Malik Monk.
They could use a shot maker, a distributor.
They could also offer him more money than the Kings.
Yeah, yeah. And the question is, we're hearing all this smoke regarding Orlando. Is Malik at the top of their wish list? I think he would, you know, if I'm being objective, I would take him over Klay Thompson, right?
Him over D'Angelo Russell?
Yes.
I would too.
Yes. And I think Russell's a talent, but... He doesn't equate to winning. Like, he doesn't impact winning, I don't think. And so, no, I think Malik, because, you know, we know what D'Angelo Russell is. He's a former All-Star. Let's not, you know, get it twisted. But Malik is trending upwards. D'Angelo Russell has plateaued. Like, he is what he is. He's going to be good some nights. Other nights, he's not going to be found. Mm-hmm. So, I think Malik, if you're looking at it, Malik might be at the top in terms of lead guards, like ball handling guards. I'm not including KCP. I know James Harden. I know Russell Westbrook. But those guys, they have a small market. Like, those guys aren't going anywhere. Malik might be, you know, one of the most sought after free agents this offseason.
He should be. From the 916, there's something broken about the CBA. If a team cannot keep a player they want to keep, Malik owes his increased value to the success he had with the Kings over these last 2 years. I'm certain the Kings would want to keep him regardless of what other teams offer. They would match if they could. It doesn't make sense that they are not allowed to do that. Well, it does, because they only gave him the 2-year offer.
Right.
And
if
so
they
would have
gave him a 3,
yeah,
it would have been different.
But there may be a way around all this, right, Drapes? What do you think, first of all, of the likelihood? The first guy, I saw it somewhere on Twitter. Jay brought it up like a week or two ago. The 1+1 deal, let's just call it that, for Malik, do you think it would give the Kings a chance?
I think that's probably, yeah, I think that would be their best chance, you know, because if I'm Malik, and his agent is Jeff Schwartz, I do believe, you got to look at the potential. Like, the Kings contract they could offer you right now, $478, great contract, you know, nothing to sneeze at, you know. $19.5 a year, basically, I think it averages out to. Great money. But the potential to be able to sign a 4-100 after this, where you get $25 million per year, or whatever the contract may be, is enticing. And we just had Keith Smith on of SpotTrack on, and he talked about how Bobby Portis did a similar thing. The only difference between Malik and Bobby Portis, if I'm correct, Portis won a championship and then elected to re-sign. Like, they were, you know, it was coming back to a champion.
Mm-hmm.
Malik, our team missed the playoffs. But by all accounts, he seems to like it here. Obviously, him and De'Aaron are great friends. Him and Mike Brown seem to, you know, get along. I was told, as a matter of fact, a couple days ago, Malik was at Bing Maloney golfing. And he's been taking lessons out there as well. And so I think, you know, Malik feels home here. Would you sacrifice some money now, knowing you'll get the bag next season?
And again, here's how it works. And I'm not trying to sit here and go, here's how it works. I have to remind myself, because this is so confusing. The Kings can renounce their early bird rights on Monk, and instead they can re-sign him with a non-bird exception. They might do this in order to sign him to a 1-year contract instead of the minimum 2 years required by the early bird exception. And then he signed on a 1-year deal. Malik, come back next year. Then he would have played for the franchise for 3 seasons, and then the Kings would be able to re-sign him to whatever they want.
Right.
Then they could do what? Why can't they keep him? They don't have the bird rights. This would allow them to do that. So they could re-sign him 120% of his salary this season. They could offer him that next year. Then after that, it's like, well, we want to keep you. What are you worth? Let's figure it out.
Yeah, and, you know, that helps the team, no doubt about it. And in the long run, it helps Malik. The only caveat, the only issue I would have from a player's perspective is, what about injury?
Right.
You know, you know, it's just, it is what it is. It's a factor you have to consider. And to an extent, you're betting on yourself, you know? And we know Malik is a confident guy. We know Malik, how he feels about his game, and he's just scratching the surface. And so he might be the type that thinks, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm going to play this well or even better next season and then raise my value even more. Mm-hmm. And so I think if I'm Monty McNair, I think that would help the team out too, the 1-1, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of, you know, contract length, things like that, cap space, you know. And if I'm correct, if you do the 1-1, Malik doesn't count against you next year. You know what I mean? Because you can go over the cap. Mm-hmm. So the way you know, rejigger it, you can sign somebody else, then sign Malik to whatever. Mm-hmm. So
I don't know about you, but if I were a member of his financial team,
yes.
And if I were a member of his financial team, he'd be broke. But if I were, I'd say, and you know, what do you think? I'd say, you can't enter next year with no long-term deal, which you did this year. You just tweaked your knee, and we know you're fine, but you can't assume that risk.
Right. You tell them to get paid right now.
Because Orlando, I just heard on the Drive Guys, some guy said, you're going to get an offer for $20 to $25 million a year to go to Orlando for 4 years. It wouldn't be the prudent move, but if he loves it here that much, I hope he likes it.
Yeah, and Keith Smith, you know, great writer, obviously, but the difference – you know, Bobby Portis, what he did is an outlier. That's not the norm. Guys don't say, sure, I'll sign a one-year deal so I can re-sign with you guys. You know, if anything, guys sign a one-year deal because they don't have any other options. And so it's like, oh, man, I'm being forced to sign this one-year deal. Let me do that, and I'll try again next year. Malik is going to have options this upcoming season. You know, and Jay hit us up on a text before the show about teams that can offer Malik money, and he wasn't seeing a whole lot. You know, I'm looking at Detroit will have the cap space, Philly, Utah, OKC, San Antonio, Orlando.
Yeah, that's the team I really think is the player.
Yeah, those six teams I just named have the most cap space. And, you know, I don't think Philly would be a good fit for Malik because you already got Maxey, handles the rock. Like you said, Orlando seems to be the team tailor-made. Mm-hmm. They need a ball handler. They're on the rise. They play in a weaker Eastern Conference. You're pretty much guaranteed to make the playoffs next season with that squad. And they got offer you the bag as well.
Plus, I would like everything else Malik brings to the party on that young team.
Yes.
What about the Wimby effect? You guys worried about the Wimby effect?
I don't think he and Pop can. I don't think Malik can be Malik with Pop.
Got you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he could if he wanted to.
Yeah. And you know, the two teams we're talking about, Orlando and San Antonio, no state taxes.
Yeah, I know.
How much is that going to save Malik, too?
A couple of million.
Yeah.
How about this from Forbes? While the Kings could choose to compensate Monk for his sacrifice of taking less money for next season, for example, by adding the difference between his market value and his actual compensation to the total amount of a future deal. They could do that.
Right.
This would be a salary cap circumvention, which is illegal. So Monk would follow the train of logic and what the Kings are trying to do. It remains absolutely crucial that Sacramento does not put into words what their larger plans are as to stay within the rules set agreed upon by the league and the Players Association.
I think this is sort of like, you may remember this guy, you too, Jay, Joe Smith.
Oh, yeah.
With the Minnesota Timberwolves years, like 20 years ago. And they got hit pretty severely. Loss of draft picks and things. Like there was a wink, wink, nod, nod deal between Joe Smith and the Timberwolves.
Might have to get Joe on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Friend of show. You
got friend
Joe?
Of the show.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Get Joe Smith on to talk about, you know, free agency and that. And I think the Timberwolves got busted for that and had to give up some picks.
Yeah. So I know, like, say, Jay mentioned this a couple weeks ago. My first thought was there's no way Malik will go for that. But if he really does like it here, and if he really thinks this would be the way for him to get a long-term deal here, he just has to wait a year to do it. I don't know, maybe, Dripes.
Nah, yeah, you're trying to sell some hope over there, huh? You got a cup of hope and you're passing it around. Like, is that the only way? Or is the 478 a good deal? And Malik sees that as a good deal. Let's say we're talking about Orlando and we had Keith on. He said, you know, maybe 20 to 25 million range. What if Orlando says, we'll offer you 490? Is 490 for Orlando, you know, that big of a difference for 78 for Sacramento? If
but
you
again,
like
the
it
tax
here.
Implications
tax,
are
I know.
Enormous. I know.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Yeah, I don't know. The thing about it, Monty McNair at this point, Whitey, there's nothing he can do.
Yeah.
We know what the offer is.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing. No, this is Malik. This is all on
this
Malik.
This is all we can do, and we are willing to do it. We can also, you know, wink, wink. This is all we can do on the one-on-one, wink, wink. But then, yeah, it's his call.
Jay, I got breaking news.
Breaking news!
When it breaks,
we have it first.
It's Sacktown Sports Breaking News.
From the NBA, Golden State Warriors guard Steph Curry is the recipient of the Jerry West Trophy as the 2023-24 Kia NBA Clutch Player of the Year.
Okay.
Steph Curry.
Copying De'Aaron.
I know, trying to follow in his footsteps. How about that?
That trophy's carried by the Under Armour brand right now.
Yeah.
I thought they lost all the close games this year.
And I tell you what, I guess that's one award that doesn't factor into whether you win or not. You know, right? Like, the Warriors didn't make the playoffs either.
Are you clutch if your team loses a close game?
Let me look at the voting for this. Steph Curry, DeMar DeRozan was second. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander finished third.
You know what? Did you say there's voting? Because I thought they actually had a formula. I thought last year, and maybe I'm wrong, I thought it was you get points for doing certain things during the year. But there's actual voting?
No, I got Steph right. Got 45 first-place votes, okay. 18 second-place votes, and 19 third-place votes.
Mm-hmm.
DeMar DeRozan, 34 first-place votes. Shai only got 11 first-place votes. I don't understand. I need to look at the clutch scoring. Did Steph just lead the league? I thought DeMar DeRozan led the league in clutch scoring, but I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I feel like at times, and I said this the other day in the NBA, the names are sexy. Steph Curry's sexier than DeMar DeRozan. So you give him the nod. But their team didn't make the playoffs either. So how is he?
And I remember early in the year, they lost another close game. And I'm not saying that's his fault. But how can you win the Clutch Player of the Year award if your team loses a lot of clutch close games?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, but it's Steph Curry winning the Clutch Player of the Year award.
Do you have Steph Curry fatigue?
Of course, yeah. I had it last year when he got the hole-in-one at the golf tournament and everything. I'm like, dude, fail at something, right? You know, don't be good at something. You know, whether it's cooking, like burn the mac and cheese when you're cooking it or something. This guy is perfect at everything. You know what I mean? It's like, geez, he hits every big shot. You know, he's all right. Here we go. I got the clutch numbers here. Hold on, Whitey. You got me. I got the clutch numbers here. In the NBA this season, clutch points per game. DeMar DeRozan led the league. 4.6, Steph Curry, 4.4. I don't understand why Steph got it. I think it's just reputation. I think it's Steph Curry. Exactly. I'm tired of it, man. We need some new blood out here, some new awards, you know, some new guys. How come Shai Gilgeous-Alexander didn't get it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Should have been DeRozan, man.
It really should have been. Like, that's the kind of award where if you look, all right, this guy scores the most clutch points.
It should be black and white.
Right, it should be black and white,
right? You do
this,
you get the award. Right. You don't.
Right. It's clear DeMar DeRozan was the most clutch.
That's kind of how I thought it was, but I was wrong. Yeah. When we come back, what do you think? We all answered this question. We'll get Drape's answer to this question, get my answer. Like to get your answer. What do you think the Kings need to do the most in the offseason? Next with the Drive Guys on NFL Draft Day. We were just talking about Malik Monk, and I know I threw the question out before we went to break. What's the one thing you would do? We all answered that question. I think that's on Twitter. If I'm not mistaken, I think that piece, like your answer, my answer, Dave,
yeah,
everybody, Styles, Watkins, we all answered that question. We'll circle back to that on the show here, but you have to check that out. I think it'll be up on SackdownSports.com, but you can find that on Twitter. Mine, by the way, I said Drape's shooting was the number one thing they need to add.
Yeah, I said playmaking, ball handling, playmaking. Mm-hmm. Somebody that can score and make others better.
Yeah. So we'll get back to that. But right now, we need to turn our attentions to the NFL draft.
Yeah.
Speaking of Sackdown Sports, here's our Sackdown Sports 49er insider, the one and only Emil Fragoso. He's ready to roll on draft day.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I am ready. It is a special, special day in the NFL world. And it's time to figure out, after all the speculation, what is actually going to happen? Because there's been a lot of speculation.
Yeah. And, of course, bottom line is, let's face it, nobody knows. We can talk
no,
about
we have no clue.
That. Yeah.
Look, I am an insider. I talk to the players, talk to the coaches. I know what they're doing, but honestly, it is, like they say, a crapshoot. You never really know what's going to happen until it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think is going to happen today?
Mm-hmm.
49ers with the 31st pick. What do you think?
You know, there's a lot of speculation they're going to trade up and potentially move Ayuk, move Debo. I think it's all smoke signals. I think unless they
smoke screen or smoke signals?
Sorry, smoke screen. Okay, I apologize. Right.
Smoke That's signals okay. means yeah, yeah. something's oh. about to go down. I'm giving you some forewarning here.
It is smoke. I think it's a smoke screen. I do think if they do trade up, it'll be a lesser trade up to a guy in the 20s that dropped that they do like a Amarius Mims or a Tyler Guyton, you know, offensive tackle, or potentially even, Jahyun Newton at Illinois defensive tackle. They have certain guys. They have 16 players they have a first-round grade on in this draft. So there's 32 picks, but there's only 16 players in their mind they have a first-round grade on they would trade up for. So they don't want to be at the 31 spot. They made that very, very clear. It's kind of the curse spot because that's where they took Reuben Foster and all this other stuff from years past. They do want to move off it, it seems. It just depends on what that is, and it just comes down to what John Lynch's price is. And John Lynch has made it very clear that, like, he's not looking to wheel and deal unless he gets the right offer. He's not going to be desperate. He's not going to do something reckless like he did with Trey Lance, where he moved three first rounds to get the quarterback, because they have a quarterback. They have Brock Purdy on a rookie contract, so now it's about filling the holes around it.
So we know that the 49ers last year had some issues with the offensive line. We know that this year, as many as 10 offensive linemen could go in the first round. So there's a lot of talented offensive linemen available. And yet it doesn't seem like the Niners are focused on that in the first round. Is that accurate? If it's true, why not?
Why do they not want an offensive tackle? That's always been the burning question with me, too, because last year you saw it, too. You think that they were going to go offensive line. That was the struggles against the Philadelphia Eagles in the championship game. The Draper obviously knows very, very well.
Yep.
Where Brock Purdy tore his UCL. And you thought they were going to go there. Well, in reality,
what do you think happens in that game if he doesn't get hurt, by the way?
I'm not going
you
there.
Wanna, you wanna,
I just wanted to ask Emil.
I'm sure they win by 60. I'm sure.
Well, actually, I disagree. I had the Eagles winning that game even before it.
Okay.
So I do think it was a much more competitive game.
Smart
but I think
man.
At the end, I think the Eagles would have prevailed. Okay. But again, it was Brock Purdy's rookie season.
Yes.
They were asking him to do a whole lot against one of the best teams in the NFL and took the Kansas City Chiefs to the wire there. And a year later, the Eagles, not so good. Mm-hmm. So I guess the last lap
anyway, that was on me. But you were talking about they didn't draft an offensive lineman last year.
Yeah, they didn't. They had guys they wanted, but they just didn't fall to the right spot. They went earlier than they wanted to, and they had to pivot. They went more onto the defensive side of the football. Then they signed a kicker, obviously, and Jake Moody, and they did a bunch of other things. They traded up, actually, to go get Jair Brown, the safety, who actually was a very shrewd pickup for them. So they make the moves how they want to. They're not going to get tricked into or feel desperate to go do something. If they have a guy they like, they will go get him. It just depends on, for John especially, what's the price.
What would you say is the level of need for this team? Because I'm looking at, let's say, some of the upper level teams, you know, teams in the top 10, Patriots, they need a quarterback, you know, Bears, they need a quarterback. Like, what do the Niners need? Or is it just more depth, really, that they're trying to draft for?
It's tricky. I think they need offensive line. You can never have too many good offensive linemen, especially after what you saw in the Super Bowl against Kansas City in the middle, at the guard spot and the center spot, because Brock Purdy is a smaller statured quarterback. His passes were getting batted down. Yeah. That's a line thing. That's a line controlling the line of scrimmage better, and they need to do a better job of that. However, the Niners haven't done that in recent years. In fact, the Niners, in four of the last seven drafts that John Lynch has been a part of, they take a defensive tackle, a defensive end in the first round. That's their bread and butter. They do the line later on. So while I think they need an offensive line more so, you're hearing reports it could be 31, could be Xavier Worthy from Texas, or Adonai Mitchell from Texas as well going to the Niners. Anything really feels possible at 31 right now for the Niners.
Yeah, we're talking NFL draft with Emil Fragoso, and our draft coverage on Sackdown Sports is brought to you by Xfinity Sports Zone. All the sports information and live games you need all in one place. What do you think of this theory, Emil? I was reading somewhere, probably The Athletic. Excuse me. Some say that one of the reasons the 49ers don't seem gung-ho about drafting offensive tackles early is because the offense is very difficult for a young tackle to learn, and they just don't feel it's necessarily there's much of a likelihood of even a top prospect just coming in and they being able to plug him in and, okay, boom, there, we got our right tackle.
I would agree with that. I would absolutely agree with that. I mean, Chris Forster, their run game coach, is a very good coach, and they have a unique scheme they run with Kyle Shanahan, a lot of zone read, a lot of zone, offense.
A lot of misdirection.
Zone run heavy team. Yeah. And so that takes a little bit of transition, especially for tackles who predominantly don't play on or have play on that left side, who have to transition to the right side because who is there? Trent Williams, one of the greatest left tackles of all time, is holding down that anchor. So you have to play on the right side. And if you're a guy who's been predominantly on the left, that's a whole adjustment period. And so if the guy that they want is not there when they're picking, they're not going to just, we got to take one because we have to have one. We have to have alignment. And that's where this gets tricky. And so that's why I have in my mock draft them taking an offensive lineman out of necessity, but I could see very possibly them going in a Ladd McConkey direction at wide receiver, getting a guy that they can add to their room, not only for the immediate future to go win a Super Bowl, but also for the future after this season.
You know, a lot of chatter about the future of Ayuk, Debo today. Ultimately, and I want to stick with Ayuk, ultimately, what happens with him? Do they get something done with him, a new deal? Do they trade him? Maybe not today. Like, what do you see your crystal ball with Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah, so my crystal ball of Brandon Ayuk, it's come down to, man, just pay the guy. Just pay the guy. This is your homegrown wide receiver. Maybe have a little bias because he was an ASU guy, all that great stuff. But he has really proven his worth the last few seasons. But when it comes to the Niners, they're in this contract negotiation period, and we know how it goes every offseason. The drama here, drama this, unfollow the Instagram, post a video celebrating the payday, all this stuff. John Lynch said, I would not anticipate a trade by Friday for Ayuk. He said that on Monday to the media.
Would not
meeting.
Anticipate.
Yeah, I would not anticipate that. Now, we know how things can change. We know the reports from Diana Russini of The Athletic came out saying they're exploring going to the top 10. Here's my thought. If Brandon Ayuk is still on the roster by the end of this evening and going into tomorrow morning, he will be a 49er for the long haul. They will get a deal done. Okay, because as they've gone into the summer, into the June, July, the August, they eventually get the deal done. So if he's on this roster by the end of this weekend, I think he'll be a Niner long term, no doubt in my mind.
How irreplaceable would he be? I realize if they have a chance to get a really top-notch receiver, if financially that works out. But, I mean, it's not just a matter of, oh, we got a young receiver replacing a guy who's been here a while. I mean, Ayuk is he's a great system. We talk about system quarterbacks. Ayuk's a great receiver in this system, is he not?
I don't want to call him a system receiver. I think he's proven he's better than a system receiver.
But I think he's good in the system.
Yes.
I think he makes the system better.
Yes, he absolutely does. Because Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel are 1A at 1B. They complement each other's playing styles very well. Debo's not a route runner. He's more of a bruiser, kind of a wide back we talk about. Go get you those extra yak yards. Ayuk is similar, but he's a guy that creates in space. He's one of the best route runners in the NFL and has shown that time and time again. And he's one of their only true guys on the outside that can really get space. I mean, Juwan Jennings is a nice guy.
Yeah, he blocks too.
And he blocks as well. Again, when this Niners offense and Kyle Shanahan, they talk about the infamous doghouse. Brandon Ayuk was in the doghouse the first year. He only played half the games because
people in the Bay Area were furious.
They were furious because they traded up to go get this guy at 25, and then it's like, oh, Brandon's not ready to play because he can't block. Really? Like, you draft a receiver to catch the passes, not to block. But in this system, you have to learn how to block, and that's why I think it's so risky to trade a known commodity in Brandon Ayuk and go draft a rookie receiver because you know what you have already.
We talk so much about the top of the draft. What about those later picks? 3 fourth rounders, I think it is. How much depth can they acquire and draft? And is this a deep draft where, you know what, some of those guys we're going to pick can be big parts of this team going forward?
Yeah. I think that they have, again, they have 10 picks this year, which is one of the most in the NFL. But I believe that the Niners, if things do not fall their way early on when it comes to receiver or whatnot, they will revisit it later on with those extra picks. I have Malik Washington out of West Virginia going to them in the third or fourth round right now, as well as I have Luke McCaffrey, Christian's younger brother,
really?
Going out of Rice in the sixth round, potentially fifth round to the Niners. They will add wide receivers. There is no doubt in my mind this draft they will add a receiver or two because they are extremely thin behind Ayuk, Debo, and Jennings. It is Ronnie Bell, Chris Conley, and Danny Gray. Pretty slim pickings there. Respectfully, pretty slim pickings. So they need to add another playmaker right there, and they need a guy that complements them different. They need a Zay Flowers type, a smaller stature guy, a slot guy. You can use him in screens. And Malik Washington's one of those guys. Anthony Gold out of Oregon State as well, another one of those guys. They need another difference maker on the outside.
I thought Danny Gray was going to work out, especially the way he – when he first got there, the way he was playing in the early workouts, but obviously it hasn't worked out. Can you stick around one more segment?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, go for it.
We'll continue. Oh, okay. All right. We're not going to take we don't need the timeout right now as we roll on with Emil Fragoso. You mentioned McCaffrey's brother, and you got what? Frank Gore's son?
Yeah.
Jerry Rice's son?
Yeah.
And there's one
Marvin
other.
Marvin Harrison?
Terrell Owens' son as well.
Niners connections?
Does that make you feel a little old?
I mean, yes.
Yes.
I mean, because I'm the same.
This guy's 23.
I'm the same age as them, so yes.
That makes us feel old. You know, these are guys we grew up watching.
I grew up watching Frank Gore. Yeah. So see Frank Gore Jr. being here is super cool. And I mean, John gave a little bit of a tidbit actually on that. He goes, you know, I love bloodlines. I really do. I believe in them.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
So it is possible that if a Tariq Owens slips the seventh round, or McCaffrey slips later, or Frank Gore slips later, they take one of those guys because it's a good, not only for football, it's a good business outlook. It's a good media chance for them, especially with Frank already in the office, the front office. It's just a cool thing to have.
Yeah, especially if it's a later round pick where the guy might not make the team anyway.
It's a great training camp story.
For sure. Yeah. Get the fans excited.
Exactly.
What do you make, as I switch gears just a little bit, the run of quarterbacks that we're about to see here, you know, maybe even five or six in the first round. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's very possible that we could see six quarterbacks drafted in the first round.
Haven't these idiots learned their lesson?
Look, I believe for a fact that there will be three quarterbacks selected with the first three picks in this draft.
One, two, three.
I believe it will go Caleb, it'll go Jane Daniels, and Drake May. It will go that. What I can't tell you, though, is who's taking number two and number three. I know the Raiders have had talks with Washington to move up because Antonio Pierce's guy is Jane Daniels. I know the Vikings have been desperate.
So you might see some trades in the top two or three.
In my mock draft, I have the Minnesota Vikings and the Patriots making a move, and then I have the Patriots trading back in at number five with the Chargers and getting their guy. So I could see moves happening here. But then again, with all this speculation before the draft, what if the funniest thing that happens, none of it happens? It's all just, we just stay the course. Everyone takes their pick and we just move on with the night. That's how this thing can go. It can go one way, the next. You never know. That's the fun part about the draft.
Yeah, unless you're the one actually making the picks, it's not so fun when you realize, oh, what we're doing.
I actually have some breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news, Jay.
Yeah, from Emil Fragoso.
Breaking news, and it involves Kyle's Eagles.
When it breaks, we have it first. It's Sacktown Sports Breaking News.
Per Adam Schefter, Eagles and Pro Bowl wide receiver A.J. Brown have reached an agreement on a 3-year, $96 million extension that includes $84 million guaranteed. $32 million is now the highest per-year average for any wide receiver. After paying Devonta Smith this week, they also pay their guy, A.J. Brown, for the long haul.
So we got our receivers locked up. It's arguably the best wide receiving core in the league.
Arguably, yes.
Arguably. Those are two top-level Does this impact Ayuk at all now? Like, does this reset the market even more now?
Looks like it.
I'll tell you right now, Ayuk's looking at 32 and he's going, yeah. I'm a $30 million player, baby.
Guy.
Give me my dance.
We were talking 27 about an hour ago. Now it went up to maybe 30.
And that's the brilliance of this move.
Yeah.
Not only do you get your guy, it upsets the 49ers apple cart.
And I'm sure the Eagles weren't thinking that. The Niners aren't even on their radar.
Heck no. The Lions weren't thinking it either with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Whatever. The longer the Niners wait, the more that price goes up, baby.
Yeah.
Because the need for a receiver and the supply and the demand, supply goes down, demand goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Ayuk sitting there thinking, baby, give me that check.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to get us on a sidetrack of, you know, bringing Jay in and having you guys going back and forth if you disagree. But Jay has been saying consistently, I give him credit, he's been saying consistently, I don't think Ayuk is worth what they're going to pay him. When we first found out that the cap was going up, he said, they should be able to fit him. But now his price goes up and up and up and up. But you feel, even now, let's assume the price just went up just now, you still think he's worth, Ayuk is worth that?
I don't know if he's worth $30 million a year. I just know that's the going rate. And at this point, you got to pay the going rate because it's only going to go higher, especially with Justin Jefferson's deal coming up very shortly here, who... That guy will absolutely
$35 million
is 100% the conversation for Justin Jefferson.
I don't have to ask him, but Jay, $30 million for Brandon Ayuk.
Man, I Marvin Harrison Jr. is looking a lot sexier right now as a 49er. But it honestly, and you guys have argued me this, it is the rate, and I understand that. And I understand that. You know, maybe John Lynch's patience, which is normally works out for him more times than not, probably is going to slow this one down because you could have got it done probably at $27 million, $26 million a month ago, and now that you're waiting on it,
think they knew this was probably going to happen.
Is he a better wide receiver than AJ? Or they right there. They're right neck and neck.
They're right neck and neck.
So he's going to want 30.
He's going to want 30. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what the kicker, though. It comes down to the guaranteed money. We can have all the numbers and whatnot, but if
I thought that was a pretty high guarantee.
$84 million is guaranteed. Amon-Ra St. Brown, again, had 77.
Yeah.
But that was not fully guaranteed. It was guaranteed. So there's other caveats within that. You had to look at.
So guaranteed doesn't mean guaranteed.
Guaranteed doesn't always mean guaranteed. The words fully, with Nick Bosa's deal, it said fully guaranteed. That means all that money he is getting, regardless, no matter what. There might be an injury clause in there for AJ, might be an injury clause in there for Devonta or Amon-Ra.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed money is great. Fully guaranteed is what you want. Mm-hmm. Everything else is just a cap figure to look all fancy.
Wow. Which quarterback do you like the most, by the way, in this? Because I just love Michael Penix.
Really?
I love the way he throws.
Yeah.
I love the way he throws.
I'm a Drake May guy.
Yeah.
I believe Drake May, in my opinion, he's the second highest quarterback on my draft board right now. I think he's a mix of Justin Herbert and Josh Allen. Mm. I really do. I think he's going to be an absolute star. I think that he needs a year or two to develop, like just like Josh, but I think that he has all the traits to really be something special.
Mm-hmm. Which team do you think has the most to prove? I asked Brian Bosarge yesterday, and he said, well, right at the top, the Bears. They have to hit a home run in this draft. Who do you think? Which team is really under the pressure to make sure they convert this opportunity in this draft?
I got one none of y'all probably said. Los Angeles Chargers.
Really?
Los Angeles Chargers, most approved.
Really?
You have your franchise quarterback signed up to locked up to a long-term deal, and you have zero quality wide receivers on that roster right now, besides Quentin Johnson, who had a subpar rookie season. Outside of, I think, three players, there are only three players signed long-term to that roster past 2025. They have to figure out a way to get that cap situation figured out. This draft is kind of the start of that, and Joe Hortiz, who is with Ozzie Newsome, with Eric DaCosta in Baltimore, they have been known to trade down in drafts. They could get real dicey and real, real frisky here coming up in the next hour or so.
I'm texting my guy, Tom E. Curran, a brilliant writer at NBC Sports Boston. Somebody just tweeted out, and I don't want to repeat the tweet, but I'm trying to get confirmation from Tom whether this is true or not.
Oh boy.
He's texting me back right now, and it has to do with the 49ers and the Patriots. And you know how you see things on Twitter?
Sure.
You know, sometimes they attribute things to people that didn't actually say this.
Yeah.
And so I'm waiting. And Tom's texting me right now, but and I don't even want to go there to get Ooh. This, according to this report, you see it now?
From Tom Curran?
Yeah, what do you got there?
Yeah, so Nick Howes was tweeting about this earlier today, too. And what I'm hearing is that they're waiting on the 31st pick. They're waiting on the end of the first round to kind of do this deal. They're kind of waiting.
What deal are you talking about? Say it.
Brandon Ayuk and the Patriots,
yeah,
is what I've been hearing from Tom Curran of NBC. And nothing is solid. The Niners have the pick, a 31 pick on the board. That's kind of what they're aiming. I think it'd be very foolish of the Patriots to trade the third overall pick for Brandon Ayuk.
That'd be foolish.
And you need a quarterback, especially. Right. That'd be foolish. So I think it'd be something later on in the draft, maybe.
Yeah.
It'd be like that, but I don't think it's anything substantial currently.
Michael Silver wrote about this Tuesday. He said, based on what I'm hearing from knowledgeable sources, don't rule out a deal that would send Ayuk to another team. And a lot of people think, yeah, New England. The number 34 pick could qualify, you know, because they have 34, I think. Some people think. A lot of people think towards the end of the draft.
I don't see it happening.
Yes.
The Niners made it very clear they want a first.
They, being the Patriots, they tried to get Calvin Ridley, and they were willing to spend a lot of money there. So people think, oh, they have the money to bring in Ayuk.
They do. It's just the compensation the Niners are asking for is too high. Like Jennifer Lee Chan said about an hour ago, on the Ayuk and Deebo situation, it'd have to be a very substantial draft package for them to do that. And it'd be moving into probably the top 10, like we've seen those reports go out. John Lynch is not going to lose this deal, especially when you're in kind of the last year or two of this championship window with Purdy going into year three of his rookie deal. They have to have their guys in place, or they have to have a guy that they think they can replace him right away. And that's kind of where they're at right now.
Yeah, Tom says they're working on it, but the price keeps rising.
Correct.
Like we were just talking about.
John is not losing this deal.
And let me say this. You know, New England Patriots, that raggedy, that ragtag organization, all of a sudden getting rid of Tom Brady. Now they're hunting and finding and pecking to try to get somebody like a Brandon Ayuk. We're going to brush them off the shoulders, man. They're done, man.
You ain't worried about that?
No, we ain't worried about them, man. You know, they done got rid of their coach and their QB.
Here's what Michael Silver said again. This was Tuesday, and this is very fluid. He said San Francisco's asking price is a 2024 first-round pick. Another GM said a 2024 second-rounder might get it done. Silver said such a deal might become more enticing to Lynch and Shanahan if that pick were near the start of the second round and packaged with another selection, say a 2025 third-rounder.
Yeah.
So that's why some people think number 34 could come into play, pick number 34, which is New England.
It's not just 34 by itself, though. They're not going to trade Brandon Ayuk for 34. That is Niner fans will be up in arms if that happens. It'd be more compensation later on, either in this draft or in next year's draft. Yeah. A lot to think about.
Yeah.
You got anything else? Ragtag organization.
Ragtag organization.
The quarterback. Patriots would pick a quarterback at 3.
Yes.
And then they would trade, swing some of the Niners and end up with the quarterback they like.
And they need a wide receiver. They do need a receiver. Yeah. Yes.
Correct.
Ragtag.
It's just how much does Elliott Wolf want to pay being in charge of year one? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. All right. Emil, you're welcome to stick around. You want to stick around a little bit or you
got
to go?
I'm about to go. I got a basketball game I got to get to. So you could fill in for Drapes.
If you'd like me to, I'm just hanging out here doing draft stuff. That's my thing.
Yeah, but don't come with any of your crazy takes or anything. No Eagles bashing, nothing like that.
What do you mean? You literally have a segment called Drapes Takes for the takes.
No, but mine are legit, though. Mine are well thought out.
You know, and you got something to do, and that's fine, but you can't leave early and then tell the guy who's filling in you can't talk about the Eagles.
But if I'm correct, I get to name my replacement. Isn't that how it works in radio?
Maybe.
So
he's the only one here. I know.
Well, you didn't even ask. Drape, who do you want the Eagles to do? What do you want the Eagles to do?
I want them. It doesn't matter. Like, I think they need a cornerback.
Yes.
I'm not a Bradbury guy. I think he's terrible. They need to make him expendable.
Yeah.
So whether it's like you were talking about with the Niners, if you stay where you're at, just get the guy, or you trade up to get the guy. They got the 22nd overall pick. They should be able to get the guy they want right there, or maybe trade up. So we need defensive secondary help.
Drapes, go get him tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, good luck. When we come back, we'll take a look at the latest on this potentially developing 49er New England Patriots story involving Brandon Ayuk when we roll on Draft Day. Drive, guys, Sacktown Sports.